Now, does anybody know what an aporist is? Well, you know, when I was told about this yesterday, I didn't know either. And then I was told I would be buzzing with excitement because it's a fancy word for a beekeeper. Now, why am I talking about things like that? Well, we have somebody that has been working here in the station for the last 3 or 4 months as a documentarian. But the news is that there's more to this gentleman than just putting together documentaries. And if you're not certain about the accent, well, he came over the bridge, as they say, from Adelaide, Australia. But I'm delighted to welcome him into studio to have a chat about his documentaries, but more about what an apiarist actually does. I speak of one Michael Danton. Michael, you're very welcome to the programme.
G'day, Darren. How you going?
G'day, mate. Fade income, eh? Fade income.
Yeah, I'm going great, mate.
You must have been delighted that I played Men at Work Down Under a little later, earlier.
I absolutely was. It reminds me of back home.
Ah, well, that is just fantastic. Michael, before we talk about beekeeping and all that, you're with us here in CRY for the last 3 or 4 months.
Yep.
You're working on documentaries.
Absolutely.
Is this something you've always wanted to do, or have you a background in doing that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely. I've started off in doing I've always had a talent for writing things, especially for screenplays and other visual projects. I've written a number of comedies, screenplays, teleplays, movies, you name it, I've done it. Stacks and stacks of properly formatted paper.
And have they actually made it to the big screen?
Not as such, not yet, but I've had perhaps a few dozen smaller comedies actually produced.
All right, so it's sort of comedy is what you like writing?
Sort of this and that. My tastes are very, very broad.
You're not going to be the new writer of James Bond or anything like that, are you? Or maybe you might.
Well, I most certainly could be if they give me the opportunity. But the Screenwriters Guild has that pretty much all sewn up.
It certainly has. Are you enjoying your time here in CRY?
Absolutely. It's fantastic. The people are great, and the project is of great interest to me as well.
I do remember the first time that I met you. You were wearing this very fine black fedora hat, trilby hat, and you had the long trench coat, black. I said, this guy now, you know, he's either a guy now that writes documentaries, or maybe he's an actor and he is just coming from a Dracula show or something. The last thing that I considered possible is that you would be an apiarist, or more commonly known as a beekeeper.
Oh, well, apiary is just one card in the deck. I'm multi-talented. You could call me a jack of all trades and master of none.
Oh, well, that's a really an Irish take on things. Michael, talk to me about beekeeping. Look, we all enjoy eating our pot of honey, no doubt. And as a singer, I certainly appreciate it. When we're at home, we see the little buzzing bees around the place and all that.
Yes.
It must be pretty dangerous to be dealing with bees.
Well, it depends on their state of mind. And there's ways, of course, to change their state of mind. When you see a swarm, the odd occasion when you see a swarm, I haven't seen one since I've been here, but when they are swarming, their mind is on swarming and basically finding a new home. When they're out amongst the flowers, their mind is on foraging. When they're guarding their home and you're walking in front of the entrance or otherwise making a nuisance of yourself, their mind is on defending themselves.
So just like killer whales, if you're not there to threaten them, they won't bother you.
Precisely.
And how did you get into that?
Well, I've always had an interest in entomology right from the very beginning. But what got me into bees specifically was my neighbour in Port Macquarie, where I lived in Australia. It's a small coastal town between Brisbane and Sydney. He had some bees there where he lived. It was a very sort of mangrove-rich area with lots of casuarina forests all around. Produced some really interesting tasting honey.
Now, you just mentioned mangrove. When I think of mangrove, I'm thinking Home and Away, Mangrove River.
Mm.
The River Boys. Mm. Totally, totally off topic there. but how do you train? Is it easy to train to be a beekeeper?
There's a lot of common sense involved. There's a lot. understanding how the colonies work and function in their natural environment is absolutely vital to correct procedures in animal husbandry. You need to know what they're thinking and how they'll react to certain stimuli, such as introducing smoke into the hive.
I've often seen that happen. What's that all about?
Yes. Bees are very instinctual creatures, and so when they smell smoke in the air, they immediately think, oh, there must be a fire in the area. We may have to leave soon. So they are compelled to go to their stores of honey and draw in as much as they can to prepare to leave. All the while, they're not stinging you, and the smoke covers any trace of alarm scent that they may be putting out. So it's extremely useful to beekeepers.
So I'm getting the idea here from what you're saying that bees are quite intelligent creatures.
Intelligence doesn't really come into it. I would say that they're more like a computer. You present them with certain information and they will interpret that in a certain way. They are very predictable in that sense.
Now, a lot of talk is going on at the moment, Michael, and rightly so, about, you know, climate change and dangers to the environment. Are bees under threat? I've heard that mentioned at times.
I think any idea of climate change in regard to bees being a cause of what they call colony collapse disorder is, I think, just a little bit overwrought. The temperature has only probably ranged 1 degree. And anything that's happened now has also happened in the past. There have been colony collapses dated right the way back to 1869.
Right, okay. Because sometimes I hear this debate about climate change and all that, and I'm just wondering, you know, is it really as bad as what some of them are trying to tell us, that we're all in danger of imploding as a human race? The world is going to end if we don't change. Now, obviously, look, plastics and all that have to happen, you know, but I oftentimes think it's an opportunity for the Greens to up the taxes on
Indeed.
Carbon and hit us where we don't want it hit.
Indeed.
But to talk a little bit more about beekeeping, look, everybody enjoys eating honey.
Mm-hmm.
How much of this stuff do these bees actually produce? You know, I mean...
Oh, quite a lot. The expected surplus of an average hive can go up to 30-plus kilograms a year.
Wow.
Yes.
And how many bees, then, would you have in a hive?
A healthy hive can range between... we'll have approximately between 20 and 60,000 individuals.
What?
Yes. That includes one bee and usually about 500 drones. And when the time is right, that also includes new queens as well.
Whoa, that sounds like an overpopulated house.
Yes, and it gets very warm too, as bees are some of the few insects that actually produce large amounts of body heat.
Wow. So how I know it might sound a bit weird, but how long does it take them to produce their honey?
The production happens quite quickly. You see, they would go out and they would visit a flower. They would draw up the nectar into a honey stomach, not their regular stomach, but one that they can easily...
Well, they have more than one stomach.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes. They have one for collecting, and if they need to eat some of their honey, they let it into a second stomach. So it's not like they're actually, you know, it's not the regurgitation that we know. It's mainly holding it in a stomach. Once they get the nectar, they transfer it to a bee in the hive, and then that bee transfers it to another bee, introducing a series of enzymes which turn the nectar into gluconic acid and hydrogen peroxide, which dries out the honey.
This sounds like a lesson from my chemistry days.
It is. There is a lot of chemistry involved.
So you said to me that there'll be one bee and there'll be these huge amount of drones.
Yes. 500 drones, usually.
So how do you distinguish one from the other? Do they all look the same? Sounds like a stupid question, maybe, but...
No. The drones are very distinctive. Well, for one, they don't actually do any work inside the colony whatsoever. They are used entirely by the hive for mating flights, and that is flying up to a predestined place and mating with the new queens.
Really?
Yes. At which point, and during the mating process, they explode.
Right, okay. Yes. That's quite a very interesting topic to be having just before we were about to sit down to have our tea and to have your honey on your whatever you're going to have your honey with, right? An exploding drone. Oh, yes. God help us.
Yes.
So the lifespan of the drone isn't great, really, is it?
Oh, well, they sit around and do their own thing and they eat free honey, and when the time comes, they fly up, meet a nice girl, and they go bang.
And they take one for the team. That's just fascinating.
Visually, the drones are quite a bit bigger, and they have larger eyes than the workers.
Okay, that's very interesting.
In order to see flying queens in the air.
Right, okay. Is it easy or difficult to get into beekeeping? How big is it?
I would say there is a rather high entry level once you've bought all the gear that you need to make it work. You need your boxes, you need your spinners, you need your frames, you need your bee suits, smokers, various tools. But apart from that, once you've got started,
you need your bees.
Oh, you definitely need your bees. like for me, my first beehive was one that I saw hanging off a tree. In the out on the path, and I shook it out. I put it into a box. I had my frames and everything prepared for just such an occasion, and that was number one.
Wow!
Yes.
And do you still have hives today, here in Ireland? No.
Not in Ireland. No. I would love the opportunity to get back into it again, but I have not seen any bee swarms here in Ireland. Coincidentally, I saw one just the other day during the day of the marathon, which stopped the traffic in the street for a number of minutes.
Really?
Yes. But apart from that, no.
Now, I don't want to give a name check here, but I will. There is a honey that is produced here in East Cork, Terry's honey.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's produced down towards the East Ferry end.
Yes.
The reason I know it is because the husband and wife, the husband taught me in secondary school mechanical drawing and woodwork. Now, how that relates to beekeeping, I just don't know.
Right.
It's a fascinating subject. You know, I mean, for me, who knows little or nothing about bees, only knows much more about honey, to actually understand the science behind it all and the chemistry behind it all and actually the work that each bee and their drones have to the functions they have to carry out to make a successful.
Yes. And I think it's probably even more impressive that bees, with as little understanding as they have, they on some level understand the chemistry as well. You know, like when they get the nectar, when they get the pollen, the nectar, for instance, has to have a water level of around 18%. Otherwise, before it puts into a cell and capped, otherwise it will ferment within the cell and it will turn into mead or some other alcoholic product, which is not good for them in long term.
Not good for any of us long term, really, I suppose. Before I let you go, Michael, what's coming down the track for you? You're going to continue working here on your documentaries.
Yes.
Where do you see yourself in 6 months' time?
Oh, we're working on a business here in town. We're working very hard, getting through all the various stepping stones and stumbling blocks. We've just created a new business name, or at least we're trying to. But in regard to the documentary, I would say watch this space, wait and see. It's going to be fantastic.
Spoken like a true journalist and a true documentarian. Michael Dandon, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. And as soon as that business is off the ground, you might come in and have a chat with me and let me know how things are going.
I will, absolutely. I look forward to
it. And when the documentary is ready, you might come in and give me the scoop as well.
That would be amazing.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much,
Michael,
Dara.
It's been a pleasure.